Thank you, Jay. I'm sorry to hear that, Pat. I just, seems like there's been a lot of loss and a lot of sadness, a lot of sickness in the last few weeks for a lot of our church family. And it kind of takes a toll as you try to live along, and we find strength and hope in Christ, that we know Christ, and it's certainly a burden when our family may or may not know Christ. And we had two in our family, a brother-in-law who passed away who knew the Lord, and then another cousin who passed away this weekend, yesterday, who, as far as we know, does not know the Lord. And really stirs us up. We need to pray for each other, call upon the Lord. We're going to be in Romans chapter 6, primarily in verses 12 and following for just a few minutes today. This passage that has to do with dying to sin. And does sin ever give you a hard time? Sin ever trip you up? Yeah. You know, sometimes we don't even know we're being tripped up by sin. Sometimes we're deceived and we're kind of going along our merry way, and then God just kind of puts on a light bulb and we say, wait a minute, this is sinful. This thing that I'm contemplating, this thing that I'm doing, this thing that I'm thinking is a sinful thing. It's not pleasing to God. It's not walking with God. And so there's a distinction that you need to make and that I need to make. And there's a clarity that needs to happen. And we kind of ask ourselves, you know, man, is what I'm participating in disobedient to God, or is it obedient to God? And Romans chapter 6 speaks to that and actually gives us some really significant keys to dealing with sinful behavior in our lives. So I'm going to go away from the slide. You can leave that up, Mike, and I'm just going to read out loud these few verses in Romans 6. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And you remember the question was, well, if God is so gracious and he covered all my sin, why don't I just live like the devil and he'll forgive me? Right? That's not the way it works. And the Apostle Paul makes it abundantly clear. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sinful behavior so that God's grace will abound toward us? No, that's not the way to live. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? And let me just say, there is a what's called a positional truth right here. How shall we who died to sin, because that's what happened when we became a Christian. We died to sin. It says we were buried with him in baptism and raised to what? Newness of life, right? So it says, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. Can you see that illustration of us when we're baptized, we've already trusted Christ. It's symbolizing the fact that we are buried with him in baptism and raised to newness of life. And we say that every time we come to a baptism service, that we're buried with him and raised to newness of life. It's not that the baptism is the newness of life. It's symbolizing what's already taken place when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you remember that, that's the resurrection, the whole Easter story, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So as Christ was raised from the dead, then we also are to walk in a new life, a resurrected life, a life that shows that we have trusted in Christ, been saved, and now we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're walking with Christ, right? Okay, so then it says, for we have been united together in the likeness of his death. Certainly, we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, and this is really important to talk about this little phrase for just a second, the old man. It says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, with Christ, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And we talked about being a slave to sin. Who is our master? Last week, a little bit. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now that phrase right there is a wonderful phrase. He who has died has been freed from sin. Would you like to be freed from sin? When you trusted Christ, you were freed from the penalty of sin, and you were saved and you were forgiven. But in this life, would you like to go along and be free from sin? Man, what a freedom that is. Verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. And that is our goal as well. That being filled with the Holy Spirit, we live this life now that we're saved. We live it to God. We live it for his glory, under his power, filled with his Spirit, so that we can live for Christ. He lives to God. Verse 11, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So reckon, count yourself dead to sin. That is, I'm not going to talk about this too much, but in the idea of temptation, have you dealt with temptation in your life? Yeah. Temptation is something that can hit us every day. And it says in this verse, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. When temptation comes along and tries to tempt a dead thing, how successful is it? It's not. You can walk in a graveyard and you can yell all you want. All these corpses should do and obey you. And if it's dead, it's not going to obey. Reckon yourselves dead indeed unto sin. It's like as you're going down life's road and you come to a sin and you then have a choice. You can either reckon yourself dead to that sin or not. You can reckon yourself, I am dead to that. This is a very practical application that I am learning about. And just to simply say to that temptation or that sin, I am dead to you. I am alive unto Christ. I am going to walk with Christ. I'm not going to walk according to this temptation or this sin. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then these verses, therefore do not, and this is like coming back to the practical as Paul writes. He says, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body. When you think of the word reign, you might think of like a king or a master, and that king or the master has control. Right? It says, do not let sin be your master. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And by the way, in this case, lust is not just a sexual temptation. It's anything that you would lust for, anything that you want, anything. It could be control. It could be dominance. It could be lustful thinking. It could be covetousness. It could be all kinds of things. It says that you should obey it, sin, in its lusts, and do not. So the first thing is, don't let sin reign in your body. The second thing is, do not present your member as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. So in very practical terms, don't present your mind and your body to sin, to obey it, to do it, to participate in it. Right? And we have a decision to make. We're watching television, and something on television comes up that is immoral or it is disobedient to God. It says, don't present yourself as members of unrighteousness. Don't, you know, in Psalms chapter, is it Psalms 1 where it says, don't sit in the seat of the scornful, and so on. You know, don't present your, and I think that is a very practical thing we have to be careful of. We can, in through our eye gate or our ear gate, we can entertain many different kinds of sins. And the Bible says, don't present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to participate with that thing. It's really talking about, Paul is saying, be careful. Be careful with what you take in. Will? Very good. Guard the gate. If you don't guard the gate, what's going to happen, Will? Who knows? Anything will break in. Be careful. Don't present your members as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God. And that is a very specific or current decision you make. God, I am going to present myself to you. When I'm faced with this sin or I'm faced with this temptation, I am going to present myself to God. I'm going to come into your presence. I'm going to say, God, I need your help. God, I am failing at this. Please help me. He wants us to call on him. Not only that, but you will have other believers, family and friends that can help you if they see you struggling, where it says, you know, present yourself to God. And then it says, let me continue, present yourself to God as alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness. Now, in this case, the alive from the dead has to do with what happened to Christ. You remember, he died to sin once for all, and he was raised. You died when you accepted Christ. You died to sin. Now you have a what? You have a new life. You have a new life. You have a new life in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And everything is kind of on the chopping block, so to speak. It's like you're saying, God, here I am. Here's what I've been. Here's how I've lived. God, from now on, I need you. I need your help. I need you to guide my thoughts. I need you to walk with me. I need to pray. I didn't pray. Father, I pray that you would just bless your word. Thank you for your word, and thank you for the truth of your word, and help me to communicate this in such ways that it is practically helpful to all of us, including me, who are listening to these scriptures. Holy Spirit, you be our teacher in Jesus' name. Amen. Present yourselves as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin, this is the third thing, sin shall not have dominion over you. It should not control you. It should not dominate you. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace. So now I'm going to go to my first slide here, Mike, and it says, run the race. Hebrews has been telling us all along that there are these people who have walked by faith. He's mentioned Abraham, and in Hebrews 11, all these other believers in God, ones who walked with God. And let me tell you, their race, and the illustration that the writer is giving is, we're alive and we're running this believing race. We're running a Christian race. And he has looked at all the people of Hebrews chapter 11 who had very difficult races. Joe and I were talking about the disciples, how incredibly difficult it was for each one of the disciples who ran a race. And then in the beginning of chapter 12, it says, now you are running a race. You're running a race, walking with Christ. And he says, therefore, We also, since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And see, the writer here is saying, look, sin will trip you up. And in Hebrews, in Romans 6, he's saying, therefore, count yourself dead unto sin. So when sin tries to reign over you, when sin tries to captivate your members and wants you to be an instrument of unrighteousness, when sin tries to dominate you, then you have to put sin in its place. You have to remember, I am dead to that sin. This is such a practical application for me to literally be thinking, when I come up to a sin or up to a temptation, to just simply say, I am dead to that. Because you know what? A lot of Christians, including me, have not reminded themselves, wait a minute, I'm dead to that. I'm dead to gossip. I am dead to lies. I am dead to stealing. I am dead to these things. They should not reign over me so that I obey it. So it says, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run this race with endurance, this race that is set before us. And let me say and ask, isn't it a tough race? It's a hard race. And we're to live in a godly way in the church family, in our own family, with our wife, our husband. It says, let us run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author. He's the one who started the whole thing. He made it even possible that you could be in him, and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured, and this is a whole area we won't talk a lot about right now, but he endured the cross, despising the shame of the cross, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. By the way, Jesus ran a race, and he was faithful to the Father in his race. And did he endure very difficult seasons in his life? He did. And you know what? So will we. And so do we. But it says, who for the joy that was set before him. And we have a great joy that's set before us. We have great promises from the Word of God over and over and over again. Who for the joy that was set before him endured what? Endured the cross. There are many times where you as a human being running the race with Christ have to endure really difficult circumstances. But he promises he will be with you. He promises he will not leave you. He promises that he will fill you and help you. What do we need to do? Trust him. Rest in him. Fall on him. Call on him. Say, God, I am dead to that sin, and help me to be alive unto you. The next slide in Romans 6, I just wrote freedom through death. Okay, and you know the context of that. Now we've just talked about it. I am dead unto sin. You want freedom? Realize you are dead to sin. It says, freedom through death to live for Christ. Romans 6 verse 4 says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so it's just the same theme being repeated again, okay? And I thought to myself, you know, it probably would be good if we would just have a burial service for sin. Never heard of that before. Never crossed my mind. I think the Lord just said, you know, Jim, maybe we ought to just think about having a burial service for sin. Why do we need freedom from sin in this faith race? We need freedom from sin because sin trips us up, slows us down, makes us ineffective. It causes life to be miserable. If you're walking in a Christian, you've chosen Christ and you are walking in Christ and you choose to live a life that is peppered with sin, you are a miserable person. I am a miserable person if we're doing that. So why do we need freedom from sin? We want this freedom. You know, when we were on this backpack trip, I realized I took way too much stuff. Probably like half my backpack was extraneous stuff. I told Clay this morning, next time we go, I'm taking a lot less stuff. I don't need to be burdened down by the stuff you can be carrying. In this scriptural application, the sin that so easily besets us, the sin that slows us down. But I'll tell you what, I probably said this already, but we got out of the car in the parking lot at Capel's Lake, and we put on our backpacks, and I'm thinking, man, this is heavy. And I walked about 200 feet, and I thought, I'm not going to make it. And then we walked 2 or 4 or however many miles we got, and we made it by God's grace. But why do we need freedom from sin? And why is it important to know that we are dead to sin? You guys, I think Satan tries to trip us up, slow us down, deceive us, tries to convince us that you can present yourself a member to unrighteousness. You can present your mind as a member to unrighteousness. Nobody will know, right? Yeah. I'll tell you what, you want to get slowed down in the race? You want to get tripped up? You want to become discouraged or depressed or lonely in your Christian race? Then let sin be presenting itself regularly and present yourself to do those sins. God wants us to live victoriously. He wants us. He wants me as a pastor. He wants you as a Christian person. He wants us to live victoriously, to be effective for him, not to be slowed down and weighed down and deceived. He wants us to live victoriously, believing him, trusting him, depending upon him. God had provided that we no longer needed to be dominated by sin, the scripture says. Now, these next two slides are the scriptures, and I'm not going to reread them, but I want you to notice something. What I underlined was the words that had to do with death, dying to sin. Can you see the underlining, how many places are underlined? For instance, who died to sin, don't live any longer to it. We were baptized into his death, buried with him through baptism. Then the last line is in green. And I put it in green because I thought, I want this to have the idea of growing, of good, of production, of not being dead, but alive, okay? And so it says that Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Now that's making a decision not to walk in the things that are dead, but to walk in the things that are alive. What are the things that are alive? You know, we'll list them in just a minute, but you know, the things that are dead are anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, lies, cheating, pride, all that kind of stuff. And the stuff that are life-giving are forgiveness and love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and so on. God says, render these things, reckon these things dead and these things alive. And so he says in this verse, even so we should walk in newness of life. Man, if you have a decision where to put your feet on the stepping stones as you're walking along life, make that your path. This is something for me as well. We need to walk in freedom. God needs this group of people to be free so that we can live for him. We can have a more dynamic testimony for Christ. We won't be slowed down and hindered from the joy that is set before us. Let's look at the next verses with the same idea in mind. Okay, you see the green? It's hard to see. It's just lighter, but it is green. If you got real close, I guess you could see it. Verse 5, it says, if we've been united in the likeness of his death, and then certainly, and then this is in green, we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. It's a promise. It's a condition. We also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Not only in heaven, but here now, while we're here. We'll be in the likeness of his resurrection, in the promises that God has made regarding heaven and the future. And now he has given us his Holy Spirit so that we can be in the likeness of his resurrection, walking in newness of life. Further down in the passage, verse 7, he who died, people who've trusted Christ, he who've died have been freed from sin. Praise God for that. I need more freedom from sin, you know, freedom. So I don't have to carry this burden on my trail. Verse 8, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. That's both here and there. Let's go to the next slide. Knowing that Christ, and then this is, starts the green, that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. Man, what a great promise that is. You know, Satan thought he defeated Christ on the cross, but he did not. And he is risen, and death no longer has dominion over him. Verse 10, for the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives unto God. And so the purpose of his life always was to live for the Father. And that's our purpose as well. Likewise, you yourselves reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So two things. He says, reckon yourself dead to sin and alive unto God. Very good. So here's my little memorial service or walking through the cemetery with, I don't know. Can we turn down these front lights? It might help to see if we can see this. So reckon yourself dead is on the right, and then on the left, sorry, that's the left, right? And on the right is indeed to sin. The verse is knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And I thought, you know, let's just picture a cemetery, dead indeed unto sin, and write some of those sins on the gravestones. These are the things we're dead to. We're dead to anger. This is what the Bible says. Positionally, we are dead to these things. But you have to reckon yourself dead to these things. I am dead to anger and pride and coveting and immorality and gossip and envy and bitterness and lying and idolatry and so on and so on. All those different stones that are there. And it might be good when we're just going through tomorrow and one of these sins pops up that you just say, I'm dead to you. You know, I'm tired of you trying to make my members do what you want me to do. I'm dead to you lying. I'm dead to you stealing. I'm dead to you cursing. I am dead to you. I need this, you guys. I need this truth. Because all too often, we can be soft on sin. We can just tolerate it in ourselves. Reckon yourselves dead to sin. Paul was one of the writers that we've been reading in our men's Bible study on Sunday morning, this guy named Miles Stanford, says, the reason we are so ineffective in handling temptation, okay, one of the reasons we're so ineffective in handling temptation is we are not reckoning ourselves dead to that temptation. I really like that. That really helped me. Reckon yourself dead to those things. So the next slide. It says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. We talked about that a little bit. That you should obey its lust. Do not present yourself. So these are three things that this verse from 12 on suggests to us. Things you and I need to practice regularly. The first thing is, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. What is that assuming? That you have a what? You have a choice. You have a choice. Don't let sin reign in your body. So what are you going to do when the sin comes up? You're either going to give it, you're going to say, sin, you're my master, and here we go. Or you're going to say, you have no place. I'm going to let Christ reign in my mind, in my body. First, don't let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. The lust there is the word desire, that you would obey its desires. You, what you're doing is you're saying, God, I have a new master. And you, as my new master, I am going to practice only letting you reign in my thinking, only letting you reign in my actions. You guys, this is not a laissez-faire Christian life. This is you, like Hebrews saying, diligently seeking after Christ. And he wants to help you. He wants you to have freedom. He wants you to be able to move forward without this heavy burden of sin. The second thing, it says, 13, do not present yourself, your members, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. So he doesn't want us to present ourselves into a sinful situation where we get ourselves into a sinful a situation that is letting sin rule us instead of us recognizing the death to sin and being alive unto God. You're going to have to work out how you do this. You're going to have to work out how in your mind and your heart you do this, not to present yourselves and your life, your members unto sin as instruments of unrighteousness. They're really powerful words. I can't make the decision for Willie June. Willie June can't make it for me. I can't. You individually have to decide how you're going to use this temple, this mind, this spirit, and what you're going to expose it to, what you're going to practice on a regular basis. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness. The next phrase is in green, even though you can't see, it's just lighter. But present your, so this is a proactive thing. Present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. You know, if you're coming into a sinful thing where you think, man, I just am so angry at that. And then you decide, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I am going to trust you that you're going to work this thing through. Even though it's unjust, I'm going to trust that you will work this out to your honor and glory. God will work all things to good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Right? Don't present yourself. Just think of practical ways. Maybe this afternoon or tonight or tomorrow or favorite television shows or whatever comes about. And you say, you know what? I need to reckon myself dead to sin. I need to leave those sins in the cemetery where they are dead and name them and keep them there. And I need to walk in newness of life. You know, poor Norman Vincent Peale, he gets a lot of criticism. He talks about positive thinking. Now, positive thinking by itself, but positive thinking that's based in God and in Christ. Think on love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. Think on those things. The Apostle Paul says, whatever things are good and right and just and holy and lovely, what does he say? Think on these things. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law but grace. Let me just ask you, how do you feel when somebody has dominion over you? Nobody likes that. You don't like to be dominated by somebody. Domination brings rebellion. Domination brings a feeling of being squelched and smothered. It says here, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law anymore. You're under grace. Let's go to the next slide. So reckon the positional truths of death so to meet the challenge of life. Here's what he says, kind of summarizing these verses. Verse 4, as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Verse 5, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his death, is what it says. Verse 7, he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Kind of the, we're dying and now we're alive to God. And verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. So just kind of summarizing those thoughts. Okay. The next slide, just reckon the positional truths of death so to meet the challenge of life. This is a second one. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives unto God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you get the point? Dead to sin, alive to Christ. It's not passive, it's active. You are actively reckoning yourself dead to sin. You're actively reckoning yourself alive to God. And you're choosing, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to live that way. Okay? So here's our cemetery again, just to remind you. A little memorial service for the dead. And this is what I chose to do for life. Okay? So there's totally different, totally opposite things. We have the death and we have the life. And I thought, what sweeter way to think of life than in a harvest, than in an orchard with peaches. And I thought, you know, Romans 6:13, present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. And so we're alive to God, fruits of righteousness. What are the things? Now you may even say to me, it almost seems impossible to do this, that we would reckon ourselves dead to sin, right? I mean, sin is everywhere around us. How do we reckon ourselves dead to sin? You believe God, you trust God that what he has done has been finished. He said, it is finished. And he says, now, instead of being an instrument of sin, I want you to be an instrument of righteousness. And he says, let these kind of fruits be in your life. By the way, if you have fruits of anger and wrath and lying and cheating and all that kind of stuff, that'd be like eating charcoal. You know, that's not fruit. That's just damaging sin. Instead, be filled, he says, with the fruit of righteousness. Lord, help us be people who are filled with the fruit of righteousness. Things like these, peace, joy, forgiveness, patience, kindness, love, trust. And what he wants you to do, and he wants me to do, is to present our members. Now, I am the thing that he's presenting. I am the thing that needs to be presented. Present yourself as an instrument of righteousness. That's what he wants. That's what he expects. When you plant an apple tree, you expect what? That's right. And so when you plant a person in Christ Jesus and they've trusted Jesus as Savior, these are the kind of fruits you should see. These are the kind of fruits I should see in my own life, my own heart. And if I'm trying to resurrect dead things out of the cemetery down there and think they're right, are they? They're not. These are the kind of fruits that God is looking for in our lives. This is what this passage is illustrating. Let's go to the next slide. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. So it's not only the people who see these fruits, but who sees them also? God sees them. present yourselves, and God will see them. Instruments of righteousness to God. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Praise God. I'm not going to take time to do this. Somebody tells me we have a potluck today. So, yeah, yay. Go to the next slide, please. And right there. I'm sorry, go two more. And the next one. Okay. So in this idea of rather than present them, put them to death and give no place. We're going to put into place these sinful things. We're going to put them in their place. Look at these scriptures. Verse 3, Colossians 3, 5. Put to death, therefore, the components of your earthly nature. And then he begins to list some. So put to death sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. So that's Paul talking to the Colossians, giving the same message. Then in 2 Timothy, Paul is saying to Timothy himself, make every effort to present yourself approved to God, an unashamed workman who accurately handles the word of truth. So if we are a Christian and we call ourselves a workman of God, we belong to him, he saved us, we love him, but then we have fruits, that we have things in our life that are evidence of sin and death, are we an approved workman? No. No. And then in 1 Peter, Peter says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his stripes ye are healed. And let me say, that is far more than a physical healing. By his stripes, we our soul is healed. Praise God. So this idea of dominion, go to the next slide, please. So the idea of dominion, Romans 5:21, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Chapter 6, verse 12, therefore do not let sin control your mortal body so that you should obey its desires. And then in Romans 7, therefore, my brothers, you died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might bring to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. So let's just wrap it up with that. And we have these, see, the thing is, God wants us to be victorious. He wants us to be walking, and when temptation comes, dealing with the temptation. He wants to make a way so that we can escape. Remember 1 Corinthians 10:13? And he says to us, I am just as I went to the cross and died once for all and rose to newness of life. He says, therefore, reckon yourselves dead to sin, but alive unto God. He wants us to be victorious. He wants us to be free. He wants us to have fruit that is pleasing and gives glory and honor to him. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I think we need your help to be the most effective people walking with Christ. This is like the job description. This is what he's calling us to. Let's pray together, and worship team, if you'd come up. Our Father, thank you for having given these words to the Apostle Paul. Father, I don't know. Maybe many here have already been reckoning themselves dead indeed to sin. When sin tries to make us its instrument of unrighteousness, or when sin tries to dominate us, that we say out loud or maybe to ourselves, I am dead to that sin. God, may your fruit show in my life. Father, I thank you that all the work on the cross was finished. Lord, in our daily life, help us not to allow sin to reign. Help us to make decisions that lead us to using our members for righteousness. God, the only person we want to have dominion over us is you. So we commit our lives to walk with you. Thank you for your truth. Father, we commit our lives and this afternoon to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, would you? Why don't you stay up here and do that?
Before we all run away, we are having Pastor Appreciation potluck next, which will be in the fellowship hall. Anybody, any of the ladies that are setting that up, have anything, words of instruction? Okay, we'll figure that out as we go. We're also going to have a time of presenting the basket of gifts and things that people have brought. Once we all get settled in there and start eating, if you're in the overflow seating, we'll come get you. And bring you in for that. Let's pray for the food in the afternoon now, and then we'll be free to go. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you that you offer us the opportunity to live a life free from sin. Lord, we're never going to be perfect this side of heaven, but Lord, we are sure thankful that you help us so much. Father, we pray that you bless this afternoon. Thank you for the food that we get to enjoy together, the abundance that you've given us. And we pray that you'd bless our time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.